cost of living was top of the billing of leaders' questions today. Let's hear from Mary Lou MacDonald in the Dáil earlier.
When our public reps are out in our communities, people constantly come to the door with their extortionate gas bills in hand, and they are very, very worried about the next one. As things stand at the end of February, the reduced VAT rate for gas and electricity comes to an end. So too the reduced rate of excise duty for petrol, diesel and home heating oil. So too the ban on energy disconnections. And then 4 weeks later, the moratorium on evictions runs out. Government has said that you will meet in the coming weeks to discuss the future of cost of living supports. But after 2 years of people being hammered by soaring living costs, households need clarity. They need certainty about what's going to happen next. They need that clarity and certainty from you now, Taoiseach.
So the February deadline, when energy bill supports are due to end, we heard there won't be a cliff edge. The Taoiseach said today, Owen, but he wouldn't say how households would be looked after. It sets us up for a bit of a cliffhanger.
Exactly. Maybe he's wanting us all to wait in suspense. He said that this hasn't been discussed at cabinet level. It hasn't been discussed by the government, but that it will be discussed. But he did reiterate again and again that this, you know, this cliff edge, this was something that I think we first came into parlance when we were all talking about the COVID payments. Mm. And it was viewed that it would be best to reduce them slowly, gradually, so that people, I guess, wouldn't be left, you know, facing huge bills all of a sudden. But I think a lot of people are worried. I mean, when all these measures were introduced around the time of the budget, and then again when there was a further renewed discussion of the cost of living crisis, and, you know, these huge increases in energy costs, etc. It offered some relief, and we kind of thought that it was, you know, being pushed ahead to next year. It's coming around a lot quicker. And I think it was artful of Sinn Féin to mention it now, because people are going to start thinking about it. I mean, this help will come to an end at the end of February. Another huge deadline, as was mentioned as well, is the moratorium on evictions. The fact that there's a pause on disconnections as well, another very important point. People will want to have some sort of certainty. And I think one of the most effective things that Mary Lou MacDonald, of the President of Sinn Féin, that she hammered the government with around the time of the budget, was the fact that there was this lack of certainty, that people were genuinely worried that they had these bills, they knew that they were coming, and they didn't know how they were going to pay for them. I mean, that's something that anyone can understand. That's a worry that anyone can understand. So the government will need to provide, you know, some bit of some reassurance, I think, for the public towards the end of February. And it's not good enough to say that it will be discussed. Right. I think that that's something that the government will need to look at now.
Marco Cossig, energy costs have mitigated slightly in terms of car fuel and the like. But from your party's standpoint, subsidisation of fossil fuels at this point, can you live with it? Can you see more of it? Is it something you want to continue?
Well, I think the first thing that we should mention, and I think Owen was right to frame it in terms of the unwinding of COVID supports, and we had the same type of discussion about how that would be managed, and it was managed very successfully. In fact, and we made sure that people were looked after and that people didn't face cliff edges. And I think we're going to see the exact same now with energy supports. There has been substantial, a huge government intervention in terms of trying to protect people. And we were very upfront right from the off that we couldn't completely offset all of the escalation of energy prices, which we know was caused
by
the
So some of these supports, as you understand it, are going to end. It's just a question of for whom or by how much.
Yes, they will have to be unwound at some stage. And as you said, there has been a mitigation in terms of energy prices. We know it takes about 2 weeks for oil prices to translate into forecourt prices. We have seen those come down. They're still very high on people. There's still substantial pressure on people. It takes much longer for gas and electricity prices to come down because they're hedged the way that they're sold, but they are coming down, and we can see in the futures market of gas prices in particular that price escalation is beginning to ameliorate. It'll take longer for people to see that in their electricity bills. But don't forget, people are getting those energy credits as well. And the last of those energy credits, that I think is going to be paid as late as April. So people will still have that ongoing support.
Claire Curran, your party was arguing that the energy supports weren't wide enough. I think liquid petroleum gas was one of the things you want to see greater inclusion for. So do you want to see anyone's energy supports tapering off post-February, or do you want to see the current supports left in place?
Well, look, I suppose immediately from the offset, those that were relying on home heating oil, and a lot of people in rural areas in particular do rely on home heating oil, and there was no supports for people that rely on that, and that was an issue from the offset. But it's welcome that the Taoiseach has said today in the Dáil there will be no cliff edge, but now we need to know what does that actually look like, because some of those supports around VAT and excise are ending at the end of February, and what we don't want to see here is speculation for the next few days and weeks and no certainty for households, because at the end of the day, people are still struggling. I think the cost of living has been an issue now for well over a year. The war in Ukraine has obviously, you know, brought that to us to many degrees, and it is continuing, and there's no sign of it to end. So the cost of living crisis is still there. Households, families in particular, are really struggling. The fuel allowance will have assisted some people, and its extension in January to the over 70s in particular, it was really welcome. But for those outside of the fuel allowance, which primarily are workers, aside from the electricity credit, they didn't have any support as regards energy, and they will have really high bills that will continue. So I hope what the government will do now is they will give certainty, and we won't have this, you know, lingering on for weeks on end without that certainty for households.
And Marian Hargan, the whatever about there being some mitigation in energy costs, we're hearing that core inflation is rising, so the cost of food and a number of other costs are rising. So consumers who may be relieved about fuel are also paying more for their bread, chicken and many other basics.
Well, they're only somewhat relieved about fuel. I mean, cost of a litre of unleaded, I know because I buy it, is around 162, 163. In fact, it's increased a little recently. So there is, yes, it's no longer at 180. But I mean, it's, I don't know what it was about a year ago, was it 140 or whatever? So it's still substantially higher. But you're quite right. Inflation means that the core costs of the basics, what people need to put on their table every day, that has continued to increase. And one of the things I would say, and I agree with the Taoiseach on this, he says, and he says it regularly in the Dáil, sorry, the Taoiseach the now, but the former Taoiseach, he said it regularly in the Dáil, Europe, you know, there's a war in Europe, and therefore we are expected to deal with that. And part of the way we deal with that is we cushion the impact on people. So, you know, if the now Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, says there'll be no cliff edge, I agree with Claire. He has to be more specific about
what that
means.
Do you want to see the same kind of universal benefits being kept in place, or if the same amount of money is to be spent, should it be targeted at people who are worse affected by this?
Well, in theory, targeting payments is always better. In practice, the administration around it and the length of time that it would take to distinguish between one category of person maybe earning under 35 and somebody else earning over 35 would be such that we'd never get to it. So in a longer term, if you're looking at a long-term payment, absolutely you target it. But if you're looking at a shorter term payment, you know, to help the population in general deal with a cost of living increase, I think the practical way, the quickest way to get it to the people who need it most as well is to have it as a universal payment. It's not the best, but it's better than spending all that time and money trying to target it.
You could tax universal payments though, couldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, you could.
Oh, so you're looking at the issue of child benefit. And I mean, that's an option that's open. I don't agree with taxing child benefit.
No, I'm not talking about child benefit, but in terms of subsidies that the people who can most afford to pay the bills, and in terms of giving the exchequer back the money to target at other people, that you could tax any universal benefit in this context yes, that you provide to people.
That could be part of the discussion. But I think actually the government intervention struck a very good balance between universal payments. So, for example, the energy credit, which was paid to all people. And for exactly that rationale, that there were people that we weren't going to reach otherwise who absolutely needed the intervention. But things like the increase in the working family payment, for example, the expansion of the fuel allowance, for example,
fuel
the eligibility
allowance, yeah.
That meant an awful lot to an awful lot of people. Double payments and a lot of the social welfare payments that reached a lot of people.
The Taoiseach indicated today that a lot of those expansions or those increases in the payments were going to they are permanent measures. But I guess I think what was argued today was mentioned today was the excise duty reduction and the VAT reduction.
Yeah.
And I think the government is after finding itself. I mean, there's almost a sting in the tail of any generosity because, as Marian has said, you know, we look at the petrol pumps and we see what the price is. We don't think, oh, it's great that the government has reduced the VAT or the excise, or we don't take that into account. But if the government decides to reverse that and to bring the VAT or bring the excise back up, that'll be something that, that will annoy the general public because they're going to see the impact straight away.
Right.
So this is a difficult, and this is always why I think the Department of Finance were always reticent about reducing VAT because it puts them into a corner and eventually they look like a Scrooge.
Claire Curran, as the biggest opposition party, do you want to see the current supports being held in place and expanded, or do you accept there has to be some level of tapering off in terms of what the state can afford to pay out?
Well, I mean, look, these were obviously measures brought in an emergency situation, albeit we did wait some time for them. And I mean, they will have to end eventually. But I think because the cost of living crisis continues to remain with us and has now for some time, we have to keep a constant eye on the supports that are there and we have to review it. So, I mean, if the extension is to go beyond the end of February, then let it go on till the end of June, for example, and then let's look at it again.
Right. But like, you do want to see mortgage interest relief on top of that. To deal with.
We've asked for a mortgage interest to be looked at, and I think the least the government could do is look at it. We did used to have a relief in place. It's been gone now for a number of years. We're seeing another interest hike for mortgage holders. They really are struggling. There's more hikes to come. They've already had hikes already. It is adding to their mortgage repayments and a lot of them are struggling, and we've asked the government repeatedly to look at a time-limited introduction of that relief, to just look at it.
Okay. There's distributional impacts there, and I know it was raised under questions, I think, to the Minister of Finance, was it on Tuesday? You know, people with larger mortgages, so wealthier people will disproportionately. So all of those things, you have to weigh up the distributional impact. I'm not sure we should go down a situation where people who can afford to take on larger mortgages are the people who benefit most from those kind of tax reductions. So all of those things have to be factored in. It's not just as easy as applying a...
Could I just say that it's not always about money? For example, you spoke earlier about the moratorium on evictions. I mean, we know that a lot of small landlords are leaving the market right now. If you put those two things together, because if a landlord is leaving the market, that means the house will be sold and the people there can be evicted. So it's not just about the supports that are there. I think we need to look at the housing issue in the context of what's happening now, because that's absolutely crucial.
All right. OK, well,